Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for today is from our reading from Judges chapter 16. About 30 years ago, back in the 1990s, former NBA star Charles Barkley was featured in an advertising campaign where he famously declared, "I am not a role model." And it was pretty remarkable that he would say something like that, considering that at that time he was a big celebrity. He was quite a superstar. But by saying those words, Mr. Barkley was showing a little bit of self-awareness. Essentially, when he was saying that, he was admitting this: even though I am remarkably good at this one thing, at playing basketball, this does not mean that I am perfect. It doesn't mean that I am a hero. I've got faults. Don't put me up there on a pedestal. And I would give Mr. Charles Barkley a bit more credit than our hero in our reading for today, Samson, for having a little more self-awareness. Because judging by his actions and his attitudes, it seems like Samson is one who does not realize that he is no role model. He is no hero. It seems like Samson is more than happy to put himself up there on that pedestal, to have the spotlight shining on him. Now, to be fair to Samson, if we're going to put him on trial here, to his credit, on the positive side of the ledger for him, he is someone who is famously physically strong. The scriptures tell us how strong he was. He, at one point, when he was a young man, was able to kill a lion all by himself with his bare hands. He was an incredible warrior and an incredible leader. He was the political and military leader for the people of Israel for 20 years during a time when they were at war with the Philistines. The scriptures tell us that he was in battle personally responsible for defeating thousands of the enemy all by himself when he was in battle. So those are things on the positive side of the ledger sheet for Samson. But with Samson, as you read about his character and understand who he is in the scriptures, you come to understand very quickly that there is a lot more on the negative side. The picture of his character that is painted in scripture is this: Samson is someone who is willful and stubborn. He is selfish. He wants what he wants, and he seems to think that he is entitled to whatever he wants. Sometimes it just seems like he is acting like a spoiled child. In the scriptures, it tells us that when he was a young man, he saw a woman of the Philistines, and he insisted that his father would get that woman for his wife, even against his parents' objections. And he has, as the scripture shows us over and over again, this lusty appetite for many women beyond that leaves a path of destruction behind him, and it will lead him into trouble that he is often too blind to see for himself. Samson's character is one that is very volatile. He is violent. He is angry, oftentimes rash. Many times personal insults cause outbursts of revenge from him that will endanger not just him, but the whole nation of people. Samson shows himself to be a man who is proud and vain and shallow. He is a show-off who believes by virtue of his own strength and his own cleverness that he is invincible, that he is unbeatable, that he is untouchable, until he isn't. until he finally gets to that point where he has been so deluded with this fantasy of himself that he crosses the line and he makes himself a fool when he fully gives himself over to his lust and his pride. When Samson gives himself over to Delilah, when Samson fully gives himself over to this woman and to a world who will betray him. Now, Samson is one who shows us and proves to us over and over again through his life, he is a man who came a long way, but along that way and along that journey, it seems that he forgets who he is and what it is that makes him special. Now, I got to admit that this sort of character portrait of Samson doesn't paint him in a very good light. Seems pretty rotten here. But in reality, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Now, Samson is a product of his times. He is a product of his people. He is a product of the nation that he is leading. In many ways, you can read his story and understand that his personal story is one that parallels and embodies the people that he leads. The nation of Israel, the people of Israel, because as a people, they are a people who have come a long way from being brought up out of slavery in Egypt and being settled into the promised land that God is giving to them. And during their time there, while they were in that promised land, these people have come into their own. They have become a great nation. They have become a large group of people who are incredibly strong to their positives and to their credit. They have many successes and they have many victories. But inside, there is something off. Something is not quite right. There is something rotten inside. They have many negatives to their account as well. The people of Israel have shown and proved themselves to be a people who were willful and stubborn and selfish. They wanted what they wanted, and it seemed to be that they felt like they were entitled to whatever they wanted. They oftentimes acted like spoiled children. They themselves had this lusty appetite for more and more and more that led them into all kinds of trouble. They wanted more power, more victories. Those are the things that became the center of their very identity. They were a people who showed themselves many times to be vain, proud, completely giving themselves over to a fantasy of their own strength and their own cleverness, thinking that that was what made them special and untouchable, unbeatable, and invincible. Now, these people came a long way over many centuries, and after Samson, in the years to come, they will go even further. But along the way, these are people who are prone to forget who they were and what it was that made them special. Both Samson and his people will eventually take the loss on all of this. They will take a loss in a very big and very bad way. For Samson, it comes in that moment when his head is shaved, his hair is cut, and his pride and his strength are sapped. And for his people, their moment is going to come a few hundred centuries after Samson, when the people of Israel will be defeated by the Babylonians. They will be carted off into slavery, every man, woman, and child taken away. In both instances, Samson and the people of Israel, we see that the mighty have fallen and the proud have been humbled. It's a bit of a sobering and maybe cautionary tale for us as the human family here in the 21st century. Because when we think back and we look back and we consider that this character study of Samson and the people of Israel, we see that those same vices that trapped Samson and trapped Israel, they are not something that's just left back there in the dust of the past. Stubborn, selfish, entitled, willful, lusty, this insatiable appetite for more and more and more, falling in love with her own power and strength and cleverness, that fantasy of invincibility, the pride that can blind us to the truth. Now, we as people have indeed come a very long way. But along the way, it seems like maybe we forget what it is that makes us who we are. What it is that makes us special. Now, true enough, I do want to say this, and I want everybody to understand that God does and can work through successes and accomplishments, through the gifts and the strengths that he gives. And we give thanks to those things that God does give and all the ways that he works in us. And we give him the glory for all of that. But friends, we also have to remember what made Samson and what made the people of Israel and what makes you is not your hair or your style. It's not your strength or your cleverness. It's not your power or your success. No, what makes them, what makes you all, and what makes us all special, it's all one and the same. It is all about God. It is all about God's love. It is all about God's grace. It is all about God's power, and it is about his presence. Now, looking back and thinking about Samson and Israel, in spite of everything that was odious about them, their pride, their stubbornness, their selfishness, their vanity, how shallow they were, in spite of all of that, in spite of all their sins, God did not abandon Samson. He did not abandon Israel. Even in those moments when they were cut down, even in those moments when they were brought low, even in those moments when they were humbled, the seeds of hope were still there. They were sprouting and they were growing. There's a simple little line from our reading for today. After Samson's head was shaved, his hair started to grow back. Even in those lowest moments, when they were humbled, the sun would rise the next day. And that grace of God will prevail. That amazing, patient grace of God that is always near, that is always right at hand, that grace of God that is always there, ready and willing and eager to forgive and to restore. The remarkable work of God for his people. When Samson and Israel or you or I are brought low, when we are stripped of our strength and our pride and our own glory, those can be the times and the places and the moments where God's glory and his power becomes evident. The lowliness and humility, it helps Samson. It helps Israel, and it helps you and I to see the truth, because it is in those moments when we are brought low, in those moments where we are humbled, when we are left with nothing to hold on to and nothing to cling to, it is in those moments where we can cry out to God, repenting, call upon Him to make His strength and His power evident through us. The true strength and the true power are not to be found in any of our works or any of our virtue, but it all belongs to Him. It all belongs to God. That power of God that is made evident in your weakness. In those moments when it is crystal clear that you cannot fix it yourself, you cannot make it on your own, you cannot make it better. It is that strength of faith, the strength of that faith in our crucified and risen Savior, that strength of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that strength of faith in Him that is made evident in that broken body that can do nothing more but just cling to the cross of Jesus Christ and His promise and His victory for us. It is that strength of faith in Christ our Lord, the strength of faith that is found in that dying voice that still professes faith in that Easter resurrection victory. Now, friends, what makes God's people, Samson, Israel, or you or I, important, special? What makes you who you are? It's all God's presence. It is all His promise, and it's all His power. Your value is not just found in what you do, in your success and in your accomplishments, but your value is found in the lengths to which He will go, the price that He is willing to pay, in the cross of Jesus Christ, and in His glorious resurrection to fulfill His promise to you, to be near you, to be with you, to be in you, and to make you His own, and to make His glory and His power and His wisdom and His grace evident in who you are and in the life that you live, to the praise and honor and glory of His name. Amen. Now may that grace and that mercy and peace that comes from our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ, may this guard and keep your hearts and your minds in faith to Christ our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.